Many years ago, a frail young woman was ushered into a doctor's office. She was having her baby, and the doctor discovered the baby was breech. And this can be dangerous and make for a difficult birth. And because once the body comes out, you got to get the head out quick so the baby can breathe. Well, as the doctor was assisting with the delivery, he gently drew down one foot. Then he grasped for the other, but he couldn't find it. And then he noticed that that little foot never would join the other. The entire thigh from the hip to the knee, and actually below, was missing. The doctor thought about the patient who was very frail mentally and physically and began to think, what effect is this going to have on this mother? He thought, surely this family is going to impoverish itself as it races around trying to get the best orthopedic care in the world. He pictured this little girl that would be sitting by herself while other girls danced and played and ran around. The doctor knew he could slow his hand. He could delay those few short moments, and no one in the world would ever know. The mother, after that first shock of grief, would probably be glad that she'd lost a child so handicapped. Well, the little foot that was coming out and wrapped in a towel suddenly popped out of the towel and touched the father's hand. And the father realized and was reminded again that his hands had been entrusted with the life of that little girl and the mother. And he realized he couldn't delay things. He needed to go forward. And he delivered the little baby with the pitiful missing little leg. And unfortunately, the foreboding he had about the future were correct. The mother ended up spending months in the hospital. It was an incredibly difficult time. The delivery had almost killed her. And as the years went on, at times he would blame himself bitterly for not having yielded to his temptation. Well, the hospital where the doctor worked, every year they would have an elaborate Christmas party for the staff. And many years later, there was three lovely musicians on the stage, and they were playing softly in unison with an accompaniment. And the doctor was fascinated by the young harpist. She played so well as her fingers just danced on those strings, and her face was upturned as if it was just like this holy, wonderful, beautiful moment. And after the short program, a woman came rushing down the aisle towards the doctor, and he didn't know who she was, but she said, "Oh, you saw her. You must have recognized your baby. That was my daughter who played the harp. You know, the one born without a leg those many years ago." And she goes, "We tried everything we could. But finally, we just realized, let's get her an artificial leg, and she's been fine ever since. And she's learned to use her hands so beautifully, and she's going to be one of the world's greatest harpists. And she's my pride and joy, and she is so happy." The doctor didn't realize it, but the daughter had come beside them, and her eyes were glowing, and the doctor couldn't help, but he took the 17-year-old girl in his arms, and as he kind of looked over his shoulder, he could see the delivery room clock ticking from that time, those many years ago. He lived again those awful moments when he literally held this little girl's life in his hands. And as the accompanist continued and finished the last strains of Silent Night, he sighed and he realized he'd made the right decision. In actuality, that doctor, I'm going to believe it's a true story, that was not his decision to make. You know, it wasn't his right to decide whether that little girl should live or die. You see, God himself has declared that there is sanctity to life, and life is sacred. And he alone is enabled to make that call. And why is human life so valuable, so precious, so priceless, so important? Well, it's because God created it, and he blessed it, and he said it is good. After he made the woman, he said it's very good, and I agree. And early in Genesis 1, 26 to 27 says, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule." And he repeated that in Genesis 5. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. After every time he made something, he said it was good. And at the end of the day, in Genesis 1:31, he said it was very good. You know, even in this imperfect fallen world, as you were driving to church, you looked around and you probably went, "Wow, God did good work. Look at all the stuff he made." But you know, his good work is not just the light and the sun, moon, and stars and the plants and the animals and the rocks and the water. His best work are you and me, because we've been made in his image. And being made in his image means we are created or shaped or molded like him. We're created to reflect his character and actions. And I've got a piece of tinfoil, and I'm going to create an image of me, or I'm going to attempt to. Let's see how it goes. Okay, so we'll kind of put it here, and sorry for the noise on the microphone. Let's see what we got. Sorry, I should have turned it off. Okay, so here I kind of have an image of me. Whoa, I'm not sure which is worse, the view in the mirror or this. It looks a little like me, but it's not me. Whew. It's just a representation, an image. You know, just like we're made in the image of God. Let's be clear, we are not God, but we're created to be like him and reflect what he's like. Adam and Eve sinned, and we sin, everyone since then. We mess up, and the imprint of the image of God in our lives becomes distorted. It's kind of like, you know, here, bye-bye image of me, you know. When tinfoil is brand new, you can kind of reflect your image. Sometimes you could sort of make a mirror out of it. Well, it still reflects, but it's going to be really hard to comb your hair looking in this thing. Through our own actions, through our sin, and the sin of others against us, it messes up the image of God. It distorts it, but it doesn't completely destroy it. The imprint of God is still on every single person. And every single person, no matter how broken or messed up, is valuable to God. So go home and rejoice, because you were wonderfully created in your mother's womb and in God's mind before creation began. And you are valuable to him. Well, a big problem we face in our culture and sometimes in our own lives is that we lose sight of the value of human life. And if we lose sight of it, then we're susceptible to this temptation to destroy or discard the value of life around us. And life's sacred, but we don't treat it that way. You know, God says from the womb to the tomb, life is precious. But our society says it's okay to murder children in the womb. It's okay to put to death the sick and aged. And in between beginning of life and the end, people do awful things to each other. Instead of valuing life, people are used and abused. But God takes notice of this. And he wants us to be aware that this is not his intention. It's not what he wants at all. His desire is that every single person would know that they are valued by God. And his desire is that every single person would value and treat others well. They are important, even if others might want to throw them away. Because I'm made in the image of God, and so are you. The truth is, nobody should be written off. Nobody is too far gone. The unborn, the elderly, the messed up, the broken, the pot growers, our neighbors, the drug dealers, the terrorists, the pimps, the child molesters, the victims, the porn stars, the addicted, the imprisoned, the billionaires, the politicians, the powerful, the powerless, those without jobs, those with jobs, the disabled, the whole, and you and me. And aren't you glad God doesn't give up on us? We all still are important and valuable to him. And every year I've preached on the sanctity of life. It's a topic near and dear to God's heart, and it's important to ours as well. Sometimes I've talked about the unborn. Sometimes I've talked about the terminally ill. Today we're going to talk, and we're going to have a guest share about how life is sacred and special, even when people are not treated that way. Everyone's important to God because he created them and made them. And people have souls that are going to last for eternity. And because God values us so much, he sent his perfect image, Jesus, the image of the invisible God, to this earth to restore us to him, to redeem us, to make that reflection of the image of God right again. And God is big time into restoration. He heals, forgives, he makes new. I'm glad. And again, one of the themes in Ruth is redemption, and it includes the idea of loosing the bonds, setting free from captivity, buying back something lost or sold, or exchanging something that one has for something someone else has. With redemption, it's God taking the initiative to act for those who can't act for themselves. And we see this most clearly when God the Father sends God the Son to earth to identify with humanity and to save us. You know, we're going to have the privilege. I'm going to invite Sarah Lee in just a moment. She works with Redemption Ridge, and she's going to tell us more why it exists and what it does. You see, Jesus loves the last, the least, and the lost. And that's what Redemption Ridge does. Sarah and the folks at Redemption Ridge take the image of God in every person seriously. And they don't give up on people. They're into seeing them as God sees them, no matter what they've gone through. Redemption Ridge believes in redemption and in pointing people to the Redeemer. So do we. And that's why we value life from beginning to end. Sarah, let me have you come up, and I'm going to say a quick prayer for her, and then she's going to share with us.